This person says that they are Barbadian, returning to this country on January 11th from overseas. They've been quarantining in a hotel, had a test done on Thursday, the 14th of January, and they're still at the hotel waiting for the results. They're a single parent paying a mortgage, and as a local resident, they've already paid $1,120 for hotel fees. They suggest to me that that is way past even the mortgage that they're paying. And nobody can give me an answer. And if I choose to go home, I'll be locked up. They say, imagine that. How many other people are still in that situation, notwithstanding what the government has said they have done to alter the system? This is down to brass tacks.
Hello, good morning, David. A blessed morning to you.
Morning.
Okay, I am a former worker of LIAT. Just to clarify something that the gentleman who was two callers before said, LIAT neither filed for bankruptcy, neither did they go into liquidation. It's actually an administration period, which is none of those things, but that's another issue. I think for me personally, in the beginning especially, it was easy to, because some people obviously are blaming the Antigua Prime Minister and Antigua and whatever, and it's easy to do that, but at the end of the day, Antigua is not, or was not, the only shareholder of LIAT. And we have to take into consideration that the powers that be, if they really sit down and study it, they will understand that neither Gaston Brown nor the administrator is particularly interested in taking care of the LIAT workers. So therefore, I believe, as a CARICOM citizen paying taxes in this country for many, many years, let me be politically correct. The powers that be have an obligation to the workers of LIAT to at least hear them out. Because the biggest issue is not hearing anything. Imagine sitting down waiting for almost a year and you don't get any information from anybody about anything, so you're in limbo. Any information at all that you get it from the Antigua media. I think that's unfair. And at the end of the day, I believe that the powers that be owe us, the workers of LIAT, because you cannot sit down and wait on LIAT, because they've been told from the beginning that LIAT has no money, they're insolvent. They've been told if we write off this, if we write off that, well, then yes, we will. You may be in a better position to pay severance to workers. However, you know that that's not going to happen. Then I find it to be particularly shameful and disrespectful to be reading in the media that LIAT is taking $500,000 to have these flights all over the region, and yet you don't have the money to pay out severance to your staff. You don't even have money to pay the staff that are still working. I find that abhorrent. I find it shameful. And I also find an issue that nobody at all is willing to make LIAT accountable for what they're doing. At the end of the day, LIAT is thinking that they're okay to do whatever because there will be no repercussions. I find that abhorrent and I find it shameful. I believe that somebody out there somewhere, whoever it is, whether it be Antigua, whether it be the administrator, whether it be the Barbados government, somebody out there owes us an answer. And I think that's the contribution I have to make.
Well, I think that, you know, LIAT workers seem to be caught in the crossfire that exists between Antigua and the other former shareholders of LIAT. It is possible that that could be so. But I think it is critical that we as Caribbean people, especially those people who have used LIAT, I mean, there are many people in across this region who had to use LIAT with an outstanding safety record and all of that we talked about. I mean, you know, we can't sit down idly by as a people and just leave this fight to the workers of LIAT. There are so many other institutions in this Caribbean and business people and that sort of thing who really need to let their voices be heard and to try to exert some kind of influence in trying to get a solution to the problem. I know it's not easy, but I think the workers need to be treated as fairly as you can treat them in these circumstances. I mean, month after month, you know, it goes dormant and then it comes back at you that people are still saying, but look at me, I'm still here. Have gotten nothing. Nobody's looking at us. And what you said just now is perhaps one of the most important parts of it. They're not communicating with you all.
Because it feels that if you are just blowing in the wind, as if you're forgotten, and I think that that's the most sobering point, that it seems as if I understand COVID, I understand all the other issues that are going on in the world right now, but at the end of the day, we are important too, because at the end of the day, Liat played a very large part in this region. So I think that we are important, and it is unfair to sit by and watch, you know, all of these different things being said about different groups and how all these other groups are going to be compensated and all those different things. And at the end of the day, we are left to float in the wind. I believe home drums have to be first. And I think that the powers that be, if they really sit down and think about it, will know that Liat has absolutely no intention of paying any severance to any workers. None whatsoever. So what are we going to do? If the administrator keeps going back to the court month after month and saying, I need an extension and I need an extension, are we going to let the workers suffer until they feel comfortable in their extension up until the year infinity? We cannot do that. I think that the layout workers, and I can speak for myself and I can speak for a lot of other workers, need closure. You need some kind of closure on this situation. It is very bad for our mental health. Obviously, people's finances are also suffering. Liat workers need some kind of closure.
But for you, as a former Liat worker, what are the options available to you now when it comes to doing something else?
There aren't many options. Well, to be honest, my particular job was not necessarily a specialized job like a pilot or what have you. But still, look at the economic situation that we are in right now. Look at the you know, people aren't hiring. So it's tough. You're sending out applications or what have you, but you're not getting anything because the job market is as terrible as it is, and you have, 60,000 people unemployed in Barbados. So all of those people you have to go against. So it is hard when you are trying to find something else. Obviously, this was not a situation that the workers of Liat created for themselves. I'm sure that nobody would have made the choice to say, you know what, I want to be in a situation where I've not worked for a company for almost a full year. I have not been paid salaries. Severance is still owed to me. I can't find a job. I'm sure that people would not have wanted this situation for themselves. And it is a tough situation.
For you, what has been your most difficult period so far in all of this?
I try to be an optimistic person, but for me, mentally, it has been very taxing. I think the most difficult period was in the beginning when salaries were not being paid, but you're also not getting unemployment benefits because technically the company had still employed you, so you could not file for unemployment. So you weren't getting a salary, but you also weren't getting unemployment. So that period was the most taxing for me so far.
All right. Well, thank you for calling. We really are sorry to see that you and the others are in this plight. But hopefully by discussing it and by making it public, not only in Barbados, but across the region, you Liat workers will be able to force, as you call them, the powers that be, to come and communicate with you and try to find a solution that, you know, everybody can work with, okay?
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Down to brass tacks. Hello?
Good morning. Good morning.
Hi, morning.
Good morning. Hi, Mr. Ellis.
Yes, morning.
I want to talk now about if we have lost the fight with the monkeys, the green monkey.
Mm-hmm.
It's horrible, Mr. Ellis. When the COVID came on, we were told that we could try and plant some, you know, the whole food items in our backyard. And even the prime minister that died, Mr. Alpha, he said to, you know, get your backyards going. We've tried that. And you cannot get one item that you have planted for those monkeys. They came out of their habitat, and they've come into our habitat every day. I have a Christophine vine that I'm trying. I planted it since COVID. It's now beginning to bear. And believe it or not, the monkey reap first, and they bite half of the Christophine, and they drop it on the ground that I can see. I planted sweet potatoes. They dug them up. I have banana trees that are growing. There are two ways we can use banana. We can cook them, or we can let them stay until they get yellow and sell them. The monkey come in and they use them when they're green, and they use them when they are yellow. What are we supposed to do? We can't poison the monkey. We can't shoot the monkey. How are we going to survive? We need the government to do something about these monkeys. We have to get rid of them, otherwise we will starve. You can't. You plant cassava, they eat them. You plant beets, they eat them. Everything that you've planted, the monkey take part. And you can't get any, you can't sell any, you can't get any to eat. What are we going to do? We need help. We need help. We need to get rid of the monkeys, otherwise we will starve. What's the government doing about it?
You see, as I understand it, the government is also watching a lobby in the United Kingdom, because they got some of these people who come here as tourists who have a view that monkeys need to be protected. And if you try to take action, more decisive action against the monkey population, some of them are prepared to threaten you with a ban, a tourist ban. So that's the other side of this. And as I understand it, it's a major reason why Barbados has not taken stronger action against the local monkey population, which really needs to be culled. There is no doubt about it. And you've hit the nail on the head. There can be no viable return to backyard gardening unless we deal with the monkey problem. It is pretty a larceny. It's one issue. But the monkey issue seems to be even bigger.
Well, I can tell you, because sometimes I am washing my car before I go to work, a monkey pass along beside me and go with food in his mouth. I can't try to throw a stone at it, because if I do, he'll mark me and he'll come back at my car. So here he is, a monkey, and he has me with my hands tied. I can't do anything. Those people that want to ban, have a ban, and they want to enforce whatever reason, they should come and live in our environment with the monkey and try to survive and see how it feels. And then they will be able to understand how we the Barbadians, have to put up with the monkey. We have to put up with the monkey 24/7. And then they will understand. I don't know what else. So sometimes I rely on the food that we grow, on the ground provisions for me and my family. And then I can't get it. I rely heavily on it. I use banana. I use breadfruit. I use Christophine. I use cassava. I use yam. All these things I use to cook for my family. And when I go to buy it, because of what's happening with COVID, it's really, really expensive. And if I grow it to help me, I can't get it to eat. I wonder if the government really listening, and whoever those other people that want to actionless because we're putting things in place to get rid of the monkey. I will let them to listen and see and feel it. And I'm speaking on behalf of the whole of Barbados, these small farmers and even the bigger farmers. I am speaking on behalf of them because everybody crying out for the monkey and nobody's doing anything. Once upon a time, you could shoot a monkey and you would get, had the tail and you would get something for it. But that has gone through the editors. People don't really shoot the monkey anyway. Monkey's smart. They are very, very smart animals. And no, we have this dilemma with all these monkeys. I mean, there are so many monkeys. There are so, so many monkeys in Barbados. We need to get rid of them in order for us to survive.
Well, you said it, ma'am. So we'll wait and hear what action could be taken. I mean, this is something that people have been complaining about for so
for
long.
Years.
Yes, and it's getting worse. From what my observation, it's getting worse.
monkey multiply
population
more
is
than
growing.
man.
Yes. And as you said just now, it is something that women have to watch as well, because they are not afraid of women, from what I understand.
Yes, I heard so as well.
Yeah, they tend to, because I know somebody, they were going to work in the morning, and the monkeys, a group of them, chased her, you know. So they're not to be trifled with in that context. All right, thank you very much. Down
Thank
to
you for
brass
hearing me.
tacks. Yes. Welcome to Down to Brass Tacks. 4341790. This person said the monkeys are a menace. All we need to do is capture the monkeys and send them to England if they like them that much. Well, wish you luck with that. This person says, tell the woman to get a dog. The monkeys will be deterred from entering her property. Is that so? This person doesn't have a clue. The monkeys taunt the dogs. You know, it is not as simple as that. They distract them and taunt them, so they're smart. Dog is no solution, is not no guarantee of a solution to that, the problem that she's talking about. Perhaps she needs several dogs. Down to brass tacks. Hello.
Morning, Miss Ellis.
Yes, morning.
Yeah, it's high time to start monkeying around with this monkey business, no pun intended. Now, let me hear something to congratulate you and your station for 40 years of your 40th anniversary of VOB. And I'll do as much as I can to contribute and help fortify you and promote your station as I've been doing from day one.
And I
Now, there's
thank you because you do it free of charge to us. I don't know if in your counseling service that you exposed the other day whether people are charged for your advice, but I know you won't charge us anything.
already, but no, I advice is free. Nobody has ever given me a toffee, but you can rest assured I will highlight things and I will keep things as I've been consistent over the years. But I'll do anything to make sure that your station get the best promotion, and I fortify you all over the years, and this is very evident. All right, I want to make a couple of points quickly. Now, I'll finish on saying that I would have said to you for your sense you touched on that. But I want you to, I feel it is, the time is right now to bring in with all the concerns about employment. You hear that gentleman talking about bankruptcy and things? There are places in Barbados, there's one prominent place that's quite bankruptcy, and the doors are still open under a new name, part of the name, and added another name onto that company. And they claim they were bankrupt and they're operating. It is high time that we get persons like Mr. Dwayne Paul. Are you asking you to have a program bringing Mr. Dwayne Paul? And there's a guy called Edwin O'Neill who's C2 Saab boss. I have you two of them on the program with the current instability in Barbados with this labor situation. And then both the articles like in Sunday, yesterday's paper, Sunday Sun, employers warn against cutting workers' benefits. That's from Mr. Dwayne Paul and Mr. Edwin O'Neill. C2 Saab don't dock pay for COVID tests. Wait. I would like to hear these gentlemen come in and help with the, you know, the amount of concerns in the community day in and day out about labor and monies and exploitation. And if you read these two articles, these are two articles in the yesterday saying that persons should stop and try and read and get the gist of what these two gentlemen are saying. I will let you to open up a program for them and let the persons call in a quiz and put their circumstance to them too. Now, as regarding our website, Friday, you know, the same yesterday, son has Dr. Don Marshall. He's saying in sync with you got Mr. George Bell and political science Peter Wickham and Dr. Christina Hoyes. That's page 8 here. No future in PDP for third part or all third parties. The same thing we're saying to you, Friday. The interesting thing is there are going to be two van parties, and we've got to watch who we're going to keep the governance and whose hand. And that is a big debate that is going on and will continue until the election comes off. I am saying the situation as it stands, we get the every minute a resignation and all kinds of political thing going on every minute, and you're there and you hear it and you follow the news with the political goings on in the country. I am satisfied that I understand though. Somebody reliably told me that I get lambasted on they call it the media thing, social media, and I said, but you know, it did not say you can help verify your wife said Friday. You know, it did not say that the only body can run the government and Barbados was Miss Molly. I said that politically, there's nobody can stand up to Miss Molly right now. I didn't say she's the only body in Barbados that could run Barbados. I never said that. I said Hartley Henry, who's an authority, a political analyst and strategist in the by-election commentary, said nobody right now in Barbados or even find diaspora could come and stand up against Miss Molly politically. I didn't say that she's the only. I would be so stupid to say the only boy could run Barbados with Miss Molly. There are situations that develop, and within seconds, you got to put somebody slot in, if they're effective or ineffective, but you have to have somebody. I wouldn't think that only Miss Molly can run Barbados. I said politically, and I'm going to say this part because I want somebody to say for Mr. Wickham whenever we get a chance. You see the situation with Mr. Pizza is saying this and saying that. She says she's got 100 persons joining DLP. I have no quarrel with that. She has half of the candidature in place. Come and call 6 or 7 or 8 persons that you've got. If a half of 30 would be 15, call 7 would be 15. You ain't doing nothing. You ain't defaming nobody. When you say, I got 7 and call 7 names, know that you're already secure for the general coming up. And that's the kind of discussion Barbadians want to hear. And to Mr. DePizzo, I wonder if Mr. DePizzo will run in the general coming because of his belief. If you want some fun, let her carry the Democratic Labour Party against Miss Molly, carry Barbados Labour Party. And the amount of persons they said that to, if you hear the Barbadian vernacular or how do we put it, Miss Molly will eat her. So, make my day. You can go on the social media now and say Rawl again. But I don't have any reservation or fear in saying what I have said. I would say Barbados has to be run by somebody. Somebody has to run it. But it's interesting what transpires in the running of the country. I will give you a chance to give some input.
I really don't think there's much more that I can say to that.
Yeah, right. So, you want, but Miss, let Miss, but you know that it's believed that Miss DePizzo isn't going to take them in general, but I'm going to give another side of something. If you even bring somebody from the diaspora, you've got to allow them to be in, wet their feet, and start to mingle among the constituents. And you can't do that in no hour. So all you know, that person will have to be slotted and start to make and put that kind of way to be effective and come up against Miss Molly. So, man, it's so interesting. And don't think that persons aren't watching. People are watching what's going on in the country. Interesting. But I regard you, and I'm going to give my support to you and your station, and I wish you well. And this evening, I will speak to Mr. Limers about all the y'all can bring up some of the old callers like Mr. Sinandra. And I got some names I would call that would be moderators and callers. You can bring some excerpts on them to help make it interesting. That would be a suggestion from me.
All right, sir.
I appreciate it.
All right. You know, tourism is our business. But some of the people who work in the tourism sector have some stories to tell about how some of the tourists have behaved in this period of lockdown. Not lockdown, well, you know, partial, I suppose. We have the curfew from 9 o'clock until 5 in the morning. And you hear some accounts from people who work in the industry about the difficulties they can encounter, especially now with COVID. And, you know, it's interesting to see that overall, you will always have people who will behave differently and will challenge you. But COVID seems to have produced a greater degree of it because of the human, I suppose human behavior is such. Nobody wants to be cooped up. You pay your money and you come on a holiday and you find yourself restricted and you start to feel that this isn't for you. You didn't anticipate this, even though it came in the, at the height of a pandemic, you know. you still feel in your mind, well, I'm escaping from where I have been living, and this is going to give me an opportunity to get a certain degree of freedom. So when you get into the Barbados and you realize that the freedom isn't exactly what you thought it would have been, then it creates some issues. We're going to have a lot to discuss and to study about COVID as time goes on. This is Down to Brass Tacks.